I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Sunday, February 2nd, and to go along with our narcotics crisis, to go along with our money laundering crisis, to go along with our tariff crisis, we have a crisis of influence in this country, specifically influencers. Now, let me explain for a minute the layers of the public. You have at the top layer, the superficial layer, the people who are all gathered together at the Ottawa Senators Arena last night and decided to boo the American National Anthem as though that will do anything. These are the people who virtue signaled their way through C-19. These are the people who virtue signaled their way through the entirety of life and then hide their heads in an ostrich hole. But there's even worse. There's a layer underneath them, and that's the mainstream media, who flies cover for what's really going on. Below them is your influencer layer, which has a huge problem, which I want to highlight in this video. These are the people who are supposedly red-pilled. These are the people whose accounts blew up during the Freedom Convoy. These are the people who are supposed to understand things. But they resist the truth, and they don't want to look at the truth. They have completely bought into the Team Canada approach, the so-called Team Canada approach. They are in denial about the scale of the drug trade. They're in denial about the scale of money laundering. They won't even look at those who are trying to show them. And you can separate today the wheat from the chaff just by looking at how they're covering this dispute with the Americans. There are some good influencers out there who want to tell the truth. And then there's those who are either willfully ignorant, and I think it's a lot of them, they have their talking points, they know what is popular with the public, they're out there trying to get clicks and shares and retweets and build their brand, and then there's those who are trying to tell the truth. If you haven't watched the last three videos, particularly the one yesterday, the 20-minute one, the shortest one, watch that one and then watch the other two and then tell me we don't have a problem. Now, credit where credit is due. There's people out there who see this very clearly. Wyatt Claypool being one of them, Clyde do something. You know who's on the ball by whether or not they are denying that we have an illicit drug problem and a money laundering problem. Angelo's another one. President Trump specifically cites British Columbia in his executive order to impose tariffs on our country. These are the consequences of weak and radical NDP leadership, and I would add leftist leadership at the nationwide level and leadership in general. How we can have 10% of our GDP being derived from criminal activity at a minimum without the government knowing about it is beyond my imagining. And like I said in my previous videos, which you should just go watch, there are some leaders in this country who understand the federal government cannot be trusted on this matter. In the executive order, which almost nobody reads, with respect to smuggling of illicit drugs across the northern border, Canada's Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Center recently published a study on the laundering of proceeds of illicit synthetic opioids, which recognized Canada's heightened domestic production of fentanyl, largely from British Columbia, and its growing footprint within international narcotics distribution. It's not just about the United States. We export across the world to Australia, for heaven's sakes. We bring the raw materials in here. We have super labs. They manufacture, and then we ship it out, and we do it under the nose of the federal government. Are you awake yet? It's happening before our eyes, and the federal government recognizes it. Prominent Western gangs have worldwide drug networks pose security threat in Canada, report finds. This is from December 6, 2024. This is not that old an article, and it talks about 4,000 criminal organizations as an estimate operating right here in Canada. And I've highlighted in the previous three videos, which I keep telling you to watch, how cartels in Mexico, how Chinese triads, how we are overrun. Khalistani Sikhs were overrun with these criminal organizations. The society itself, with its soft-on-crime policies, with its easy catch-and-release bail systems, with its soft criminal sentencing, and with the meth camps and the fentanyl camps in every one of our major cities, makes it easy to hide the scale of the crime in plain sight. Canada is designed as a clearinghouse for criminal cartels, for drug trafficking, for human smuggling, for money laundering. It's beyond proven. So why are influencers, big influencers who should know better, denying the scale of the problem? A scale that has been identified by many honest Canadians, including Sam Cooper, whose book, Willful Blindness, you should have a read because the situation's only worsened since Willful Blindness was first published. This is by Sam Cooper from August 29th of last year, so not that old. PRC narcos in Toronto are command and control for North American money laundering networks used in TD Bank case. The TD Bank case is huge. It's a national bank that was laundering billions of dollars. They got caught and they got fined, but of course nobody goes to jail for this stuff. This is an article. This is actually a huge interview, but we're going to just read the key findings and then you can go and check it out yourself. Key findings from this long-form interview include Chinese state triad nexus. David Asher claims that Chinese triads like the 14K and Sun Yon have been co-opted by the Chinese Communist Party to facilitate global money laundering and drug trafficking. Drug trafficking and money laundering on behalf of the Communist Party of China accomplishes two goals. It makes them money. It makes them foreign currency, which they can then use to buy real things from Western countries. But it also undermines our social and structural cohesion. It is good strategic initiative if you're psychopathic. Most of your politicians are. So understand it in that light. China is beating us by, we can't fight a direct war. Nuclear weapons have foregone direct war. We can't fight real direct wars without agreement that we won't destroy each other. Very careful, very tricky warfare in the 21st century. But what you can do is massive psychological and physical warfare. And by physical warfare, I mean a war on the health of the populace, both mental and physical. So you have the culture war, where they promote a state of unreality through DEI and all this gender nonsense at just the superficial level, where they take our great works of literature like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, which is cinema, and they convert it into woke nonsense that nobody will watch. They take over the video game industry to insert the same absurd ideology and cost video game developers billions of dollars in losses because nobody wants to play their game. The psychological operation, at the very minimum, even if it can't convince the populace that unreality is real, it divides and conquers all the same. And then you have the big one, which is drugs. When you fill the cities with drug addicts and you deplete the workforce, you destroy the family and you undermine the healthy fabric of society, you're winning. And what does China do? They execute their drug dealers. They ban effeminate men. They do the opposite of that which they promote with their billions in our countries. Back to the article, Toronto Command Center, U.S. investigations indicate that key command and control operations for North American money laundering are based in Toronto and other Canadian cities. We talked about Angelo's post. It's not just BC. It is nationwide. It's Halifax. It's Toronto. It's Vancouver. It's every housing market in this country. The scale, which I talk about in my other videos, is enormous. It defies imagination, and I would say that the figure I came up with is low. It's hard to get an accurate figure because nobody's compiling it because they don't want you to know. Chinese international students used as mules, tasked within Beijing's foreign influence arm, the United Front Work Department. Chinese students are systemically used to deposit fentanyl cash for triads and Mexican cartels into North American banks. This is the TD Bank thing. But remember, you can walk into a casino in BC with $250,000 in cash and you don't have to fill out any paperwork and you can rinse it right through the casino. It's crazy. How many housewives have bought multi-million-dollar homes in Vancouver? And not just Vancouver, in British Columbia, in Toronto, outside of Toronto, in Eastern Ontario. How many housewives are buying 30-unit condo buildings? I mean, there's real estate agents I've talked to. I've had numerous law enforcement officials reach out to me in the last 24 hours to tell me I'm right on the mark because not everybody's in on it, and a lot of them feel muzzled. We're on the precipice of potentially exposing something that could make our country whole and healthy again. Why are influencers, back to the point where I started this video, why are influencers resistant to this information? Why are they unifying around the people who are committed to destroying our nation? Why are they unifying around Doug Ford? He's going to pull $1 billion. No, it's not $1 billion. It's $1 billion a year. He's going to pull already purchased American liquor off store shelves and thinks he's doing something. He won't pull meth off the street. He won't pull fentanyl off the street. He won't do anything about that. And Kirk Lyubimov says, dummy is removing bottles off shelves before illegal immigrants and asylum claimant scammers that cost the province billions. That's only one layer. The big story is the money laundering and the drug trafficking. The other DK says, or you could work with the U.S. to resolve the tariffs. Pretty sure there is one ask from the United States. Yeah, the big ask is dealing with this money laundering and fentanyl production. Back to the article. Canada is in action. Asher criticized the Canadian government for inadequate cooperation in the Xilop and broader fentanyl trafficking and triad money laundering investigations and suggest possible political and financial influences are hampering effective law enforcement. That is corruption within the state, the government, the CBSA, and many other arms of authority in Canada. You'd have to be for 10% at a minimum of GDP to be tied up in this illegal trafficking. Fentanyl crisis link. The failure to disrupt these networks is contributing to ongoing fentanyl crisis, which claims tens of thousands of lives annually in the U.S. and Canada. Beijing subsidizing meth trafficking. Asher disclosed that U.S. congressional investigators allege the People's Republic is not only incentivizing fentanyl precursor exports, but also methamphetamine sales. Of course they are. Of course they are. It's a win-win for them, as I've already spelled out. And of course, a call for action. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm calling for action. I'm not just calling for action on the part of the government. I'm calling for action on the part of these big influencers who are supposed to be red-pilled but are in complete denial about this information. This from Popbase. Canada announces 25% retaliatory tariffs on $155 billion worth of American goods. With $30 billion on Tuesday, $125 billion in 21 days, items include beer, wine, bourbon, fruits, fruit juices, vegetables, clothes, perfume, household appliances, plastic, lumber, and more. When the leaders, the Justin Trudeaus and the Doug Fords and the people who call themselves, dare to call themselves Team Canada, apply tariffs, that's what's going to cost you money. When the Americans apply tariffs, it costs money to do business in the United States. It doesn't affect your pocketbook directly. It might affect your place of work, but it doesn't affect the price of your groceries. These guys who say they're defending the Canadian worker, who say they're looking out for the lower and the middle classes, their tariffs are going to increase the price of your food. Not Donald Trump's, Canada's. And they're sacrificing you. They're sacrificing Canada. They're going to make you hungrier so that they can protect drug traffickers, so that they can protect money laundering, so that they can resist doing this job. And Trump is going to respond in kind. And then these people, you need to understand this. It is Canadian tariffs, not American tariffs, that are going to jack up your food costs. Now, as regards that absurdly low 1% of illicit drugs going into the United States come from Canada, this number, which is repeated by influencers who should know better, is not representative of the overall scale of the drug market. We are missing an order of magnitude more drugs going into the United States than we are actually capturing. John Wick, great name, on the channel. I'm just going to read his comment because it's great. It's called Loss Leaders. They allow a certain amount of drugs to be seized as distraction. Our big banks have been turning a blind eye to money laundering for ages. TD Bank was caught laundering billions. This ain't some conspiracy theory. This is fact. The amount of organized crime groups operating in Canada is staggering. 4,000, as we already highlighted. Our police are handcuffed by their civilian boards and political leaders. True, most frontline cops don't stand for this. They got into policing so that they could stop this. But they are obstructed. They're resisted. They don't get promotions. That's what happens. Our ports police were disbanded, and police numbers reduced massively while the population explodes. It's crazy. The population is growing at a staggering million plus a year and has been for a long time. Most of those people are coming from other trafficking hubs, China and India. And at the same time, we reduce our enforcement capacity. Do you understand that the fence zombies and the meth heads that occupy the seats beside you on public transit are put there? They want them there. It's a result of policy decisions, safe supply, safe injection sites. All this nonsense is just one superficial layer of a great big problem. It's the tip of the iceberg, and the rest is hiding under the water, and we are here trying to expose it to the light of day. Those of you who are keen may have noticed that this article has been sitting on my desktop for a while, and I can't get to it. There's a bunch of stuff here I'd love to get to, but there's so much more important things to talk about, and you only have so much time and attention span, and that's not an insult. I'm trying to respect your time. Closing Riverview in 2012 was a mistake, former Attorney General tells Safety Forum. Now, just for those of you who know, this is a mental health facility in Vancouver. There's been a movement to turn out mental health patients on the street, destigmatize it, destigmatize drug addiction, and incorporate what is chaos into the community, and then tell anybody who highlights the problem, who has an issue with the public danger it represents, that they're not being inclusive enough and they're not being understanding enough. The big red pill, the thing that everybody should see at this point, is this is a deliberate making of chaos on our streets to hide something much bigger. If you make an environment where it is impossible to spot illegality of scale, because illegality of small scale has been made legal, you make it easier to hide the elephant in the room. And hidden well, it has been, because even the so-called red pill influencers and the alternative media are just bandying around Nerf ball talking points and denying that this problem exists at scale. And not just scale, intent. Which is why when I see the graph that you see on screen, everybody's using this. The left is using it, the right is using it, and the so-called influencers are using it. But they're not understanding that this graph is superficial. It's too simplistic. It doesn't capture the scale of the problem. It doesn't even begin to scratch the surface. It is not a valid, reasonable, rational dismissal of the facts. Now, Canada doesn't have money for enforcement, doesn't have money to solve this problem, but we have $55 million for the Aga Khan Foundation. We got $15 million for youth job training in eight African countries. We have $100 million to aid the UN High Commission on Refugees. We got all these millions over here. And then I've got a list over here, just what we spend on DEI. We have the Mosaic Leadership Development Program, which had $50 million in its budget for 2023 for career development and mental health support for black public servants. Just for black public servants, $50 million. DEI research funding, the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council, SSHRC, doles out grants for projects like queering leadership, indigenizing governance, and carceral intersections of gender identity. I'm not kidding you, folks. I got to read it. The Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council has $1 billion-plus budget paid for by you, the taxpayer. They don't have $1 billion for cleaning up your streets and dealing with the drug problem, but they have $1 billion for absolutely absurd, confusing nonsense that nobody wants. It's by design, because it divides, it sows chaos, and it enables the mass-scale corruption that we're talking about here. Black Mental Health Fund, an initiative where an additional $45.9 million was added to a previous fund, focusing specifically on mental health servants just for black public servants. Another program just for public servants. Isn't that wonderful? Executive Leadership Program for Black Executives, funded through the Canada School of Public Service. This program supports career advancement for black executives. This stuff's all racist, right? It's exclusive to just skin tone. The policies of the government aren't racially blind. This isn't equity. This isn't equality. This is racism. Culturally competent mental health support. Health Canada's initiative to recruit additional black counselors to provide culturally competent mental health support through the Employee Assistance Program. Diversity and Inclusion Strategy by CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service has a strategy to enhance DEI within its ranks, focusing on systemic discrimination and racism, not focusing on the undermining of our country, but focusing on bullshit. And that's what it is. I'm sorry to swear. Let me allow myself. It's bullshit. It has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with real problems. It has nothing to do with real social harms. It's all money wasted on distraction and garbage, which I guess keeps the rest of the real problems hidden from public view. Gender-based analysis plus, an approach used to assess systemic inequality in policies, which some consider an unnecessary layer of bureaucracy, do you think? DEI in the criminal justice system. So if you do a crime, they're going to look at your skin color and determine your culpability. So if you have the wrong skin color, you'll get more time. If you have the right skin color, you'll get less time, and you'll get counseling services. And you might just get released so you can reoffend again, because it's not your fault. It's the skin you were born in, even though the skin you're born in isn't part of your identity, because what you're born doesn't matter, because you can switch genders like a set of clothes, but the skin you're born in is real. How do you wrap your head around this stuff? I've explained how. The incredulous question that I just raised isn't a valid question, because we now have our answers. We've revealed the answer. We've seen the elephant in the room. I got another 10 of these. I don't even want to read them. Far more important than this video is that you go and you watch the previous three videos. I've said all I can say, and the notifications and the emails I'm getting are almost too much to keep up with. It's like a full-time job just returning messages. And once again, I appreciate everybody that does donate. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate you equally. I don't single you out for special attention, because I'm not running a pay-for-access operation, and I never will. I don't have a Patreon. I don't have anything. I don't have private access. I'm trying to give everybody equal treatment. And if you like the work, please consider supporting it. All you got to do is buy me my daily bread. That's all I need. And I keep working. I'll keep telling the truth. I don't have a partisan axe to grind. I don't have a political party I'm going to support unconditionally. I just want to find the answers. I want to get to the heart of the problem. And I think there's a whole pile of people in Canada who are misleading you, either through ignorance or deliberately misleading you because they're chasing what's popular, or malfeasance. And I think malfeasance is the smallest sliver of it all. I think ignorance and chasing what's popular is what most people do. I'm not here for that. I'm all about quality over quantity, and I appreciate every single one of you. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.